Ramsey TV.
Did you know that the law of Moses was handed down by celestial beings? That's right. The law of Moses was prescribed by messengers. God didn't do it directly because he didn't really like the law of Moses. It was just temporarily necessary to set the stage for grace. But when it comes to revealing the true God, the heart of God, he sends his own son personally. And Jesus Christ unfolds the Father. This is Martin Zender, and you are at MZTV. I wanted to tell you that yesterday, Rodney Paris and I produced a wonderful video. I mean, you really got to see this. This is one of the best ones I've ever done. It was recorded in 1997, 25 years ago, in Wagner, South Carolina. It was at a church. Yeah, I actually taught at a church. It was headed by Rick Farwell. And it is linked down here. It's called Jesus Christ, Victim or Offering. This is going to help you understand the relationship between God and his son, Jesus Christ. I think it's very important to understand the relationship between God and Jesus Christ. And so we get the idea sometimes that God is an angry God, and he was mad. He's mad at all human beings, and he just can't wait. He wants to strike out at sinners. He just wants to punch sinners in the face. But lo and behold, his son steps in the way as our substitute. That's not true. Hang in there. And he takes the punch for us, and he satisfies the angry God. The idea is that Jesus was punished for our sins. He was not punished. He was not punished. Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. You got to watch this video. Rodney Pierce did an awesome job putting this to video. Go down to the link below. It's called Jesus Christ, Victim or Offering. Please watch this. Watch this. You'll never forget it. It's a great message recorded 27 years ago. Sitting in a storage unit in Canton, Ohio for 20 years, Rodney Paris rescued it from oblivion and has delivered it to you via the link below. Thank you for checking that out. You'll be glad that you did. The conference is on May 27th, 28th, and 29th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Richmond, Virginia. Actually, it's called Short Pump, Virginia. I didn't name it. And it is Short Pump. Yeah, Short Pump, Virginia. It's a suburb of Richmond. So I'd rather say Richmond. Short Pump sounds a little weird, but it's at the Residence Inn by Marriott. Write down the address. This is the site of the conference. 1800 Wilkes Ridge Circle. I'll write it down here. 1800 Wilkes Ridge Circle, Richmond, Virginia, 23233. The contact is Greg Davis. Email Greg, say, how do I get to this conference? His email is unirec@proton.me. Unirec, UNIREC at proton.me. Unirec is short for Universal Reconciliation. So Greg Davis is the guy. I'm going to be doing the lion's share of the speaking there, but I'm going to ask Scott Hicko to speak. He doesn't know it yet. He's finding out right now for the first time. And the pirate is going to give us an address, and Greg Davis has asked to address the congregation, and I said, sure. So it's going to be a great time. There's going to be a meet and greet on Friday evening. We'll get the information to you. I would love to meet you. You know, I get to see people that I talk to every day. I just really want to do that. So come to the conference. If you can, Memorial Day weekend, Friday, May 27th, Saturday, May 28th, we go all day, and then Sunday, half a day, May 29th. Friday is a fun day. It's in the evening, and we're just going to hang out. We'll have some drinks there. We'll have some snacks. I'll make sure of that. I make sure of it every time. Don't worry. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to work out. So come to the conference if you can. So the law of Moses was not God's heart. God took no delight in the blood of bulls and goats, but it was a necessary preliminary for a revelation of grace. But the interesting thing is that I want you to concentrate on here is that it was prescribed through messengers. Going to give you the verse reference down there. It did not come directly from God's hand. So in a way, he kind of distanced himself from the law of Moses when it came down. The same thing he did when he created Satan. By his spirit, the heavens were made seemly. I'll put the verse reference down here. By his spirit, the heavens were made beautiful, seemly, if you'd like. but his hand travailed with the fugitive serpent. So when he created the universe, he loved it. He was into it. And so he did it, his spirit, that speaks of a fellowship, a deep intimacy with what he's doing. But when it came to the creation of Satan, it wasn't so much fun, and his hand travailed with the fugitive serpent. We think God just loves doing evil stuff. See, we know God does evil. I know it's hard for some people to grasp, but he does. But I think we think that God just loves it. Oh, I'm going to do some real evil to these people today. Wait till they see what I got in store today. Oh, I got some real humdingers brewing today. No, he doesn't like it. It's necessary evil. That's a great phrase, necessary evil. God does not delight in it. He did not delight in the blood of bulls and goats, did not delight in it. Many of you love animals. I love animals. I don't like to think of animals being slaughtered. I don't like it. But it happened. It was necessary for the sins of Israel. But God didn't like it either. So that's good news. He did not delight in it because it was just a primitive picture of him. It was a type of his actual son, his real son, the fulfillment of the types. And when it came to his son, well, I'm gonna get to that in a second. So it was necessary to present himself as a distant deity. So the whole tabernacle system was set up with the curtains in order to separate God from the people. This was necessary because we needed to know how righteous God was. We needed to know how unapproachable he was. We needed to know how different he was from us. Because if he had come down at the beginning all palsy-wowsy, you know, like he was with Adam in the Garden of Eden. He was all palsy-wowsy. God walked with Adam every day. And Adam took that for granted because God was all palsy-wowsy with him. What did that result in? Adam was not thankful for anything. He was not full of praise for God because he had no contrast. So God, of course, knew that that was an imperfect thing. Adam was just the beginning. Many, many more steps to go. Thank God. I'm glad I wasn't Adam. I will tell you this. And I'm glad I wasn't an Israelite at Mount Sinai. And you should be thankful for the era in which you were born. You could have been born a non-Israelite in the days of Mount Sinai, or even worse, an Israelite in the days of Mount Sinai. That would have been even worse. You might have been one of those people dancing around the golden calf. Could have been. But we were born subsequent to God revealing his heart. And so how does he reveal his heart? Well, first he sets the stage of a righteous deity that must be approached very cautiously because he's holy. At this time, he's almost like unknowable. I mean, you just see a glimpse of him in the law of Moses. It's very primitive. It's not the full orbed revelation because God gradually reveals himself. He doesn't do it all at once. He takes baby steps, and it's a long, long story. And we just thank God we are born after the whole revelation is made. I mean, people could say that in Paul's day. After the scriptures were completed, Paul completed the scriptures, Colossians 1:25. Then people could say, yes, we finally see the full orbed picture of God. Because in Paul's evangel, we see no more mysteries, no more secrets. All secrets are revealed by Paul. No more little breadcrumbs trying to find God. No more mysteries. It's all like in your face. We see God and Christ in our face. Paul just takes the veil off everything, and he says, this is God in Christ. No more little types. No more types and shadows. I would hate to live in the day of types and shadows. I just wouldn't like that at all. Types, maybe, but shadows? I don't want it. Thank God I wasn't born in the types and shadows. I want to see the fulfillment. I don't want hints. Like, I always tell God, I said, if you want me to know something, you have to tell me directly. Don't play around with me. Don't try to make me figure out clues. So many people try to put things together. It's like, what's God trying to tell me? I don't even think about that for a second. I think if God wants to tell me something, he's smart enough. He's clever enough. He'll make something obvious to me so that I'll know it. You know, if I'm supposed to do something, God will arrange circumstances, then it'll be obvious to me. I told God, I'm not playing games. Don't you play games with me. You got to make it obvious or I'm not going to get it. God respects that. God really likes it when I say that. So I don't even worry about it. I'm not trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. I just do what comes to my hand by reading the circumstances. And I trust that God's in the circumstances. God likes that too. God likes when I trust that he's in the circumstances. So I'm so thankful to be living in this era, and so should you. So then the time came to send his son. And of course, his son came in the form of a baby in Bethlehem. And that was not even that was a full orbed revelation, but Jesus Christ began to really unveil the Father's heart. We didn't really see that before. It was kind of rough to see it. This is why it bugs me when people go back to like the Old Testament and they bring some verses out of the Old Testament and they throw them in your face like, this is God. I say, that's not the full orbed God. That's not his heart. The law came down second hand. It came from God, but it passed through to angels, and they handled it. They came down. They talked to Moses, not God. God sent it down. He didn't want to do it personally because it's just like, I got to do this. I have to set the stage for a revelation of Jesus Christ. And then after Jesus Christ is revealed on the earth, that sets the stage for a revelation of the completion of the entire plan for all humanity, and that comes via Paul. So the law through Moses was given. I'm going to put this verse down here. It's a great verse. I'm reciting it from memory, so hopefully I get it right. The law through Moses came, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And also says that Christ unfolds the Father. The Father is unknowable, unseeable, unperceivable. Somebody asked me today, Martin, with our improved perception after we're snatched away, will we ever see God? Will we see God? And I said, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we will never see God because God is absolutely invisible. And if you could see God, then you would have to be located. Am I not right? Do I not make sense for a living? If you see God, then you would have to be somewhere. But God's everywhere. He can't be located. Jesus Christ can be located, but God can't, so we will never see God, but don't be disappointed, because Jesus Christ is the perfect image of the invisible God. This is why God created Christ. He had it in mind that Christ was going to be the one who we could see and hear and who would be written about, and then we would know the true God through him. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. God made him to be his image because he is unperceivable otherwise. Remember, Philip said, show us the Father and it will suffice us. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So seeing Jesus Christ and meeting Jesus Christ and talking to Jesus Christ, which we will do, will completely satisfy us because he is the perfect image. We won't be looking at Jesus Christ and say, hey, have you seen God lately? We want to see God. We're not content with only seeing you. We will never say that. I mean, we even know now that he is the image of the invisible God. When we actually meet him and talk to him, it will be evident that we will not need to see God or talk to God as if we could. Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God, will suffice us. It will satisfy us. And we won't even consider the question, show us God, because to us, that will be God. So he would unfold the Father. I love this. Jesus Christ unfolds the Father. There's the verse right there. Unfolds the Father. Whenever I hear the word unfolds, naturally I think of a AAA map, an automobile club map, which I used to use all the time before there was the internet, see? And you take those maps and you'd unfold them. I could never fold one back, but you unfold them a little bit at a time, and as you fold, each fold brings a little more of the landscape, right? And so you unfold it and unfold it, and that's what Jesus Christ did. He unfolded the Father gradually, gradually. I mean, so the coming of Christ was an improvement over the law of Moses coming through the hand of messengers on Mount Sinai, all the rocks. Of course it would happen on a mountain, because the law was all about rocks. It was all about writing the law on the rock, and if you disobeyed, you got your head hit with a rock. But Jesus Christ came through the gooey mucous membranes of his teenage mother, and so that was much better than the rock of Mount Sinai. Think about that. Jesus Christ, when he came forth, when he took the form of humanity, it was all gooey and soft and warm and mucousy. Whereas Mount Sinai was like, it was kind of like that was Mount Sinai, but the coming of Christ was like soft and warm and slipped right out of there. That's beautiful. softer already. It's already softer. And he's put in a major with straw. It's beautiful. I like it already. I prefer it to Mount Sinai, that's for sure. But even that period, when he was on earth, wasn't the fulfillment of what God was. Because then we had to wait for Christ to ascend to heaven after his death and his entombment. He ascends to heaven, and then he reveals himself to Saul on the road to Damascus, as we know, with the advantage of no longer being a Jew. Oh yeah, the glorified Christ is not a Jew, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know that? The glorified Christ is not a Jew. The glorified Christ has no nationality. And so he is the representative man then of all creation. He was always that, but it wasn't time to reveal it. Jesus Christ unfolds God gradually. And we live in an era, thank God, you can thank God for this, where Jesus Christ is already unfolded and we see the fullness right off the bat. My goodness, we didn't have to go through these times. Or what if you were born sometime between Adam and Abraham? You wouldn't know anything. You wouldn't know anything about God. You would know it from the creation. You would know it from, well, there was Melchizedek. Yeah, he was wandering around. No, that was, he was a contemporary of Abraham. Forget that. There was nothing really. What a sad time to live in. Worst of all, you would live to be like 800 years old. Jeez. There's no internet. Well, that's an advantage actually, but So I am really grateful to live in this era. I think I'll title this show, Jesus Christ Unfolds God. Started at Mount Sinai before Jesus Christ even came. God was starting to unfold himself, but he did it in a primitive way. The groundwork had to be laid for his majesty, his might, and his distance from humanity. This is not somebody you're palling around with, because human beings are beset by sin, by design, and God is without sin, and so there's this immense gulf between humanity and God. People felt it, but God was gracious enough to make a way that you could survive for another year. If you were an Israelite, that was the temple sacrificial system. So by that system, you could survive for another year. But that was primitive. I talk about that in the show yesterday. Go to the link. You gotta watch that. So there was a way to survive, but it was very primitive, and God's going to fulfill his promises to those people. But we are so favored. I want you to think today how favored you are to live in an era when God is revealed plainly, and Jesus Christ is revealed plainly, and the whole plan is revealed plainly. We don't have to go through all that primitive stuff. We don't have to get our heads hit by rocks, because we're saved by grace, not by works of law. We don't have to overcome to be saved. Don't let anybody tell you that. We're not going through the tribulation. Woohoo! Woohoo! And we are so lauded. We are so graced, lauded with God's grace, that we are going to be used by Jesus Christ to reconcile the universe to himself. That should make you very happy. If it doesn't, take two readings of the book of Ephesians and call me in the morning.